Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. And I always love when I can highlight successful young businesswomen, and particularly those that help other businesswomen. So today I get to welcome Deanne Chase. Deanne, thank you for being with me.
Hi, Sharon. Thank you for having me.
And Deanne is a business attorney and strategic business growth expert who works with entrepreneurs and business owners to create the proper legal structures that form the foundation for a successful business. But I love, she also participated as a sponsor and a panelist on the Assets Are Sexy event. And I love when we were talking about that, she says, I like to create legally savvy business owners. I think that's the term you used, wasn't it?
Yes.
So I just love it. And you've been in business over 20 years. We have met on the circuit at Bill Walsh event and then at the Think and Grow Rich event with John Chen. And we had a chance to really visit there after that. And then you stood up again, raised your hand, took action to participate in Assets Are Sexy. So I applaud you. I'm delighted to highlight you today and to share your brilliance, because I still, you know, there's still a lot of women that look at a woman, an attorney, and go, wow, that's a lot of work. So I want you to share a little bit about little Deanne. How did you get into law to begin with?
Well, I was raised in a blue collar family. So, my dad worked for General Motors and my mom drove a school bus. I was always a really good writer. So I kind of followed my writing skills and I went to UC Berkeley for my undergrad and I majored in rhetoric, which is all about writing and argument and debate, and kind of went from there into law school. But, you know, I always tell, you know, young women to just follow their skill sets and kind of what they like, you know, what they like to do, what they feel they're good at, and then they can kind of flow into a career. And that's how I ended up in law.
Well, I love it. And I know just when you were talking about it at the event, you could just see your enthusiasm for helping business owners. So talk a little bit about, because I can sing this song too, being married to an IP attorney. And I tell all my clients, you got to build the foundation before you can go, you know, foundation and go down in for a house before you can put the house on top. Yeah. Same thing with a company. So share a little bit about, your passion for business owners.
Sure. Well, I've been practicing law over 20 years, and I started out my career as a young lawyer. I was in, I worked in a big law firm, litigation law firm, and so I represented business owners that were being sued. So I wouldn't come into the case till after the lawsuit had been filed, and I say I've been in virtually every courthouse in Southern California. So I was defending businesses, like, you know, in the heat of battle, and just for my personal lifestyle, you know, when we were starting a young family, I started my own practice almost 13 years ago now, with the idea of helping entrepreneurs, business owners, and professional practice owners to build legal structures for their business that would put them in the best position if a lawsuit were to come down the pipe. So I'd say I take a holistic approach, but I focus primarily on five pillars, if you will. A legal structure, like an entity, an LLC or corporation. I help business owners with their contracts, with their clients and their team, their independent contractor and employment issues, brand protection through trademark and copyrights, and then I focus on real estate through commercial leases, purchase and sale of commercial properties, and investment properties. So just really everything relating to the business.
I love it. You know, I talk to people all the time about, They get to the point where they want to sell their business, and they've been so bad at keeping their records, and they don't have the right agreements in place, and they end up losing a lot of their sales price through due diligence because they have to clean up a lot of the mess that they've got behind them, and it's so important. So you're definitely singing the choir with me. It's so important to have the right legal advice up front. Now, a couple of things that I get asked all the time, and I answer with the phrase, I am not an attorney, so now we're going to ask the attorney. Sure. People ask me, well, what's the difference between an LLC and an S corp? And there's some specific times that you need an S corp. So share a little bit about that.
Sure. And that's what I love about you, Sharon, is you and I are speaking the same language. You speak this language at a higher level, and I just so appreciate it. So an LLC and a corporation, they both give a business owner liability protection, which is really, really important. And so you have LLC, and then you have corporation, and then a corporation by default is taxed as a C corp, and an S corp is really a tax election that's made for the corporation. So so my general preference, if I had to pick one, is I like an LLC structure, and a lot of people don't realize you can actually have an LLC taxed as an S corp. So you get some of the S corp has a lot of tax benefits. You're not subject to self-employment tax, you're an employee of a corporation. So my CPA friends really like an S corporate tax election, but I like the LLC structure for small businesses because frankly, there's a lot less paperwork and a lot less maintenance. Because what I find is that in a corporate structure, if people don't maintain their corporate documents and they're sued, what can happen is someone suing them could make a claim to what's called pierce through the corporate veil to get through to their personal assets. And that's why I say in a corporate structure, that's why minutes matter. And a lot of people are like, what? I'm supposed to have a meeting? It's just me, but that's why. So as between an LLC and a corporation, I really like the LLC structure because it's easier to maintain and, but the corporate structure, some professionals can't be an LLC, and sometimes there are other reasons why you would want to be a corporation, particularly, for example, if you're going to be taking on institutional investors and more comfortable with a C corp. So sometimes you can start with an LLC and convert to a corporation. There's a lot of different factors in play.
And a lot of people now, their eyes have glazed over, but I wanted you to go through that process because that's why it's so important to make sure you get the right advice from the right people, because sure. what works for me in my author company, my speaking and my writing where I get royalties, is not the same that works for me in my real estate company. So you sure. need to make sure you get the right advice based on the right operations of the business and the right tax structure. So it's very important to Absolutely. Have somebody that knows what they're doing to help direct you.
Now, absolutely.
One of my biggest bugaboos, and of course, as you, I think you know, I'm married to Michael, who's an intellectual property attorney. So we right. are, huge proponents of identifying, protecting, and leveraging your intellectual property. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that we find with a lot of the clients that we work with is they pay for something and they think they own it. And invariably, they haven't taken the time to get a work for hire agreement or supporting documentation to make sure that they actually own it, and they end up getting in trouble down the line. So talk a little bit about why that's important.
Sure. Well, when you talk about going to sell your business, one of the primary assets of your business is your intellectual property. And anyone who's buying the business is going to want to know that that is set up properly and secured. So your intellectual property could be anything from your business name, your business logo, as well as a lot of the content that you have in your practice and or your business. So what a lot of people don't realize is that if you hire someone as an independent contractor to create content for your business, by default, that content, even if you hire someone technically to do your logo, if it's hired by an outside company, by default, that outside company actually owns the rights to the logo or to anything they create for you. If you hire a freelance writer to do writing for you, by default, they own that. So unless...
Listen to this, everybody, because this is so important. You hire a photographer to do your headshots. they own them unless you have created the documents that you need, right?
Yeah, I'll share a war story is that basically one time I had an outside assistant, like a VA, that was helping me with some things. And I was doing a talk, you know, to a local Rotary group. And I asked my VA, I said, can you get a videographer? It was like a last minute thing. I said, can you just get a videographer? I'm just like all of us were so busy. I wasn't, you know, keeping track of it. So she came in, she had this person, you know, videotape my talk. And then after the fact, we were, you know, talking about it, and the videographer's like, well, I own the content. And I'm like, and I told the VA the whole purpose of me having this talk videotaped was I was going to cut it into pieces and do little pieces on YouTube or, you know, that sort of thing. Needless to say, I was not happy. But, you know, that's something really to keep in mind. And so when you are hiring a videographer or somebody like that, they do technically own it unless you have a written agreement that specifies that it's work made for hire or that all the rights are owned by you for anything they create. And also it's important for people to keep in mind anything that your employee, if you have employees, anything your employees create, you own. But if you have an independent contractor, anything they create, you do not necessarily own. So it's really critical to securing your intellectual property.
Yeah. And it is, I can't underscore that enough. It's so difficult for, you know, people to try and unweave a problem. So it's better to create the systems and the documents ahead of time to prevent the problem from happening down the line. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So I just love this. I've kind of driven the conversation with a couple of my pet peeves. How about share a couple of your pet peeves, Deanne, as far as what businesses that you see that make the common mistakes?
There are a lot of them. I physically cringe when someone tells me that they form their entity online using an online legal service, or even sometimes if they say my accountant put it together for me. Because I love accountants and I highly recommend that you have a team of professionals, advisors, but accountants are not lawyers. So accountants, you know, you're getting me started. One of my pet peeves actually is when someone, a new business owner, for example, or a young business owner goes to their accountant and says, do I need a business entity? And the accountants see the numbers, right? So the accountants will oftentimes say, you know, in California, for example, you have to pay an annual franchise tax of $800 per year. So the accountant will say, well, you don't need to do an entity until you make whatever, X number of dollars, right? Which just drives me crazy because there are so many other reasons you need an entity. It's protection of your intellectual property. It's separation of your business and personal expenses. It's starting to develop corporate credit under the EIN number for the entity. So for a lot of reasons. And so basically I say form an entity before you sign any contract.
Yep, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Mm-hmm. So Deanne, I know you have a free gift for people, but you also, you know, somebody may want to be asking you some additional questions. You are in California. So definitely if you have any business in California, you need a California-based attorney because everything there is a little different than they are here. So how can people find you, Deanne?
Sure. Well, they can reach me through my through the website for my law firm. We have, it's Chase Law MB, so for Manhattan Beach, California, chaselawmb.com. And then Sharon, I have a gift for your people. It's an ebook that I wrote on the top five legal mistakes that small business owners make. And it's a good high level breakdown of kind of what to keep an eye out for. And they would just text BizLaw to 26786. So that's BizLaw to 26786. And that's the top five legal mistakes small business owners make.
Oh, that's great. I love it. You know, I'm laughing because when I work with my clients, I tell them when they say, well, I don't know how to write a book. I go, do you have the same five issues with your clients? You know, so it's like, there you go. You did it. There.
Right. You know, top five.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I love it. And Deanne, you're going to hang out with me for a little bit because we're going to go do a second interview for the private Facebook group. But sure. I just love the information that you've shared. So any last words of wisdom for our folks that are watching and listening today?
Well, I just want to thank you again, Sharon, because I really, your perspective is so refreshing. A lot of people who are, you know, guiding a lot of entrepreneurs are not talking as specifically as they need to about the legal structures. And I know the legal can be intimidating, but it is just so, so important because it only takes one claim or lawsuit to really put you off track. So, you know, take the time to educate yourself and talk to the right people.
Well, I mean, I tell people all the time, yeah, you tell me you can't afford the legal now. Well, believe me, you won't be able to afford it later because it'll be much more when you don't do it right the first time. So
much, much more, yes.
Definitely save money in the long run. And you get the kind of advice that you need to be able to be successful. Certainly, when you're forming a corporation, do not go to your brother-in-law who's the real estate attorney. You know, if he doesn't understand how to form the corporate structures, you want to go.
Or a friend of a friend.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. So you're going to hang out with me for a moment. I want everybody to know that we are excited. If you're not a member of the private Facebook group, Playing Big is all about being number one in your field, living your legacy, creating maximum impact. And the way you can create maximum impact is to have a structure strong enough that can truly grow and scale. And that's what Deanne's been talking about. So have a great day. Come join us in the private Facebook group and know we're here to support you every step of the way. Thanks for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lechter. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lechter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lechter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.